Hey, good morning. It's Greg Morgan here. Warm temper continues. Above normal temperatures going through this week. And certainly as the last weekend of summer arrives here, it's going to be feeling like summer before fall arrives officially Monday at 12:19 p.m. if you want to get technical about it. But getting closer to maybe getting back in the fields in some areas as it's been sunny and dried up a little more. I don't know. It just depends how much rain you got and what you're waiting on. But maybe you'll get back in the fields in the next day or two. Certainly by the weekend, if that hot, dry weather in that 25 to 27 degree range comes true. But yeah, Sunday is the last day of summer. And there are already corn mazes to visit. Leaves to be raked. I'm waiting until they're all off. Pumpkin spice lattes to be ordered, maple bugs to be annoyed by, sprinklers to be blowing out. You know what? It's getting there. The fall season is near. Not to mention a fall wardrobe that has to be brought to the front of the closet, I guess, if you've not already done so. But we got lots to go through here this morning. I think a lot of the economists are anticipating the Bank of Canada will announce a cut to its key lending rate this morning after three consecutive holds at 2.75%. Likely to be trimmed by a quarter point today, meaning variable rate mortgages in Canada could drop below fixed rates if the Bank of Canada does so today. Maybe you got stuck last night in Regina. I don't know. Apparently a train stopped on Albert Street and backed up traffic big time near First Avenue. And that started around 7 o'clock. We were getting texts and calls about it. SAS Power had to be on the scene too. Something about a power outage. But we put in requests to SAS Power, CN Rail to hear what exactly happened. When I find out, I'll pass it along to you, too. Our own reporter, Abby Zivrink, took a drive over there, too, to make sure that everything was open and running smoothly this morning. It seems to be, but perhaps some of you without power. After the 7 o'clock news this morning, we are going to be visiting James Bogus, our CEO of the Regina Airport. He and I are going to be talking about upcoming winter direct flights. Brace yourself, though, and not in the crash position, please. But we are going to have to do with less options this winter. That's what I'm hearing. But we'll get into all the details with James Bogus about winter destinations from the Regina Airport when he joins me live here at just after the 7 o'clock news this morning. And the story we've been following and paying close attention to all week here, RCMP now think at least two vehicles were shot at on Highway 39 near Weyburn last Friday. Of course, by now, perhaps you've heard one of the bullets hit an SUV driving down 39, killing the passenger, who we now know as Tanya Meyer. Sounded just like a lovely young lady, and family is obviously distraught, as many of us are. Nobody heard in the other vehicle that the owners came forward with, but RCMP suggests that second vehicle had a flat tire because of a gunshot, too. So the investigation is ongoing, and anyone with information to step forward be truly welcome by investigators, but at this point, that's all we know so far. And as we get details on that, it's another we'll keep updating you on. Doesn't look like I blew it yesterday on the guaranteed forecast either. For Windsor Plywood and our air restoration, I'd guarantee 24, and we hit 25. I only pay off a mop by three or more. If I'm within 3 degrees, I add $25 to the jackpot and let her grow. We're up to $75 now, and at 6:15 this morning, I'll announce our next contestant. So you have an opportunity right now to go to cjme.com on the contest page and fill out an entry form if you haven't already done so. That way, you could be randomly selected to play on the next go-round and win some cold, hard cash. It's free to enter. It takes like 2 minutes, so go ahead and do it. I like that one. Brian Adams, he's returning, I believe, the end of the month here. What? I think it's the 28th. It's a Sunday night. I got that date right at the Brad Center. And if you've never seen Brian Adams, well, you've never seen an artist who has just a fabulous backup band that sounds so tight. And it's just hit after hit. And crowd always takes over on a lot of the songs to sing them out loud at the top of their lungs. It'll be a fun show. There are still some tickets available for that one. Tim Goodwin. He is senior editor of the Old Farmer's Almanac, and he was on the Evan Bray Show yesterday talking about the book's accuracy and predictions for the winter. First, what Tim said about accuracy and how they figure out the weather in that book.
I mean, traditionally, year over year, you know, we're about 80%. That's where we stand, you know. And when we're talking about our forecasts, you know, we're looking at averages over a 30-year span. And we're predicting, making our forecasts based off of those normals. You know, last year was a really, really good year for us in terms of accuracy. You know, we were correct in 6 of 7 regions for temperatures, a combined accuracy of 92.9. So, you know, well above our 80%, which we will take, because, you know, some years you never know with the weather.
That's Tim Goodwin from the Farmer's Almanac on accuracy. And how about fall and winter predictions and projections? Starting, of course, with fall.
You know, we're looking for it to be a little bit on the warmer side and wetter than normal. You know, when we're looking at winter, again, we're looking at, you know, above normal temperatures, not to say there won't be some cold times, looking really at, you know, that late November and early December time for those coldest periods, and again, coming back in early February. Precipitation, we're looking for it to be above normal, but below normal snowfall. Again, that late November, early December, it's going to be kind of a combination of colder weather and more snowfall.
So there you have it. It sounds like how I describe almost every winter, quite honestly. But hey, that's the story from the Farmer's Almanac for the coming months. A book that's been around since 1792. Edmonton Oilers open up training camp today. And, oh man, new comments coming in this morning from Connor McDavid about re-signing. This is courtesy of Elliot Friedman's podcast, what he said first.
I feel good. I feel you know, focused on the year. My body feels good. Excited to get going, excited to get camp going and getting into the routine of things. And as far as all that other stuff goes, I'm not focused on it. It's playing is the easy part. So we're getting to the easy part here.
Okay, that's all good, right? Connor has a good feeling. But has anything changed? Should we be hearing about a contract extension anytime soon?
My wife and I obviously love being here in Edmonton, and we have every intention, as I said, to win here in Edmonton, and have all the faith in the world in this 25-26 season. And beyond that, still remains to be seen. We have time. It's our decision, basically. We've earned that, and we're going to take our time with it.
Connor, you're killing me here. Come on, man, and tell us what you need to see or hear in order to sign and get this over with. Give me something.
You know, truthfully, what do I need to see? I guess the answer is nothing. You know, all the pieces are here for 25-26. It's going to be a feeling. It's going to be, when the time's right, the moment's right, I think it'll just be a feeling. But as of right now, just excited to get the season going, really.
All right. Did you catch that in that response there? Connor McDavid talking with our good friend there from Hockey Night in Canada, Elliot Friedman, in his podcast. He mentioned it looks good for this season. And yeah, the suspense is killing us Oilers fans. Does not sound like he's going to sign before the season starts. Training camp today, but I doubt we're going to hear anything in the coming weeks. His biggest point of resistance seems to be that the Oilers' aging roster, which he believes can contend this year, does not look to be constructed to sustain a championship level over the long term, though. And he more or less said that publicly back in June, telling us, quote, "If I feel that there's a good window to win here over and over again, then signing will be no problem." He's still going to sign. He's not going anywhere. But the Oilers got some work to do. And I see this contract signing taking a while yet. I really do. Last night I was really flipping around the channel, and I got sucked into that America's Got Talent reality show. I don't watch a lot of television anymore, especially with warmer evenings. And well, at last, sun going down now about 8 o'clock. You kind of want to get out and enjoy yourself. But last night I got sucked into this Got Talent, and I'm going to tell you, there was some thrill acts on there that I think should win the whole thing immediately. Like that couple that flip one another upside down, way up in the air. Blindfolded, that was crazy. And then these two young men who literally do things that are extraordinary feats of strength. If you're watching it, you know who I'm talking about. I think it's down to those two acts, but what do I know? With reality television, the only one I ever seem to watch anymore is Survivor. That's back next Wednesday. And if you missed it, Jake Latimer from Regina is going to be participating. He wouldn't break when I talked to him in the studio here about winning the mill or not, but I want you to get a little opportunity to get to know him because he even went to school right here in Regina.
W.S. Harlack as a kid. Yeah, and then a little Belfer Redmond action after that.
Was this your first time to try an audition for Survivor, or have you been trying for a while?
No, this was the first one. Yeah, funny because my little brother, Max, he's applied 8 or 9 times.
Oh, no.
He hasn't got a call back. So
are you talking as brothers still?
No, he's super pumped for me right now, but he didn't have a faith that I was going to do very well on the show.
But?
I can't say.
Of course you can't say. I know. What was the inspiration to want to do Survivor?
Growing up, Mom and Dad, we watched Survivor every, I think it was Thursdays back then, and we'd watch it as a family. And now kind of fast forwarding, so my dad has glaucoma. This is going to be the last season that he's going to be able to see. His doctor said he's going to be completely blind by the end of the year, sorry. So for me to play in front of my dad one more time on his favorite show, it means a lot to me.
That's pretty special.
So a big motivational factor there. And then as you can see behind me here, got a little baby boy.
Was Jax born while you were away in Fiji? Or?
Yeah, so that was kind of the narrative. So when I applied for Survivor, me and my wife, we were trying to get pregnant for 4.5 years, and we just couldn't get pregnant.
Yeah.
And then I applied for Survivor, and during my application process, we found out that she was pregnant. So nice. Little miracle. However, when I got that call that I'm going to be on the show while I was going to be gone is when right in the middle of when the due date was. So
wow.
So I had a big decision to make. There was no way my wife was not letting me go and try to bring home $1 million, 1 in 18 chance for a brand new baby boy. So
yeah, I bet.
Nice little surprise when I got home, right?
Side note, I got to ask this for my partner because she's always said that she wanted to go on Survivor to go so far, not necessarily to win the $1 million. She was in love with Jeff Probst.
Oh, yeah.
So she wanted to get to the point where she'd probably get kicked out. Then she'd have to stay at the hotel, hang out with Jeff a little more.
Yeah.
Is Jeff Probst as handsome as
he is,
appears?
Man. I call him the ageless wonder, man. And I'm telling you, like, when we come in on the very first day on the boats, and then Jeff Probst is standing there in all his glory, his shirt unbuttoned, and it's like, I fangirled, man. Like, I'm standing there, and he's, like, asking questions. I'm just staring at him. I'm like, holy crap. Like, I'm on Survivor, and Jeff Probst is, like, 10 feet
That's
away
cool.
from me. But he's an awesome guy. Like, there's a lot of stuff that you don't see on TV. He makes time for all of us, and he's such a joy to talk to. So he's
going into this, how do you train for something like this? Do you just like swim a lot?
Yeah. So I was always been physically fit. You know, I do go to the gym every day. It's part of my kind of routine. But yeah, when I got the call, I did start swimming more. Just a few things to kind of limber up a little bit and get ready.
Well, you're a good looking guy.
Thank you, buddy. I appreciate you too, buddy.
You got all these muscles, these tats. You look amazing right now. Yeah. But when you're on Survivor, what was the most difficult part? I think it's probably privacy. When you got to go poop, how do you do that?
I mean, there's two. There's the mental aspect of it, too. The heat is crazy. Yeah, so like Jeff Probst even came off record saying, I think this was the hottest season on record.
Oh,
like,
no kidding.
Since the start of Survivor.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, the bathroom, you just got to find somewhere in the ocean. You got to go in the tree. Like it's
And do they follow you everywhere?
No, they don't.
Or do you this is a privacy moment?
Yeah, it's a privacy moment.
Oh, okay.
But they do respect your privacy when it comes to those times, yeah.
You're in the 49th season. Has Survivor's game changed? Did you, in your head, know how you were going to play the game, or did you have to adapt rather?
Yeah, I had an idea going in. I kind of wanted to come in like a Joe. I'm not play like a Joe from 48, but me and him, we're both in law enforcement, right?
Right.
We're both big family men, and we're loyal and we're honest. I did want to come in playing some sort of like almost a loyal game. However, on Survivor, that's not always the best. So I can't tell you how I played. You have to adapt to your surroundings very quickly out there.
Can you tell me whether or not you said something during Survivor, after they edit, you regret saying, and you're worried how it's going to come off?
Yeah, you know what? It's crazy. I tried my absolute hardest not to do anything.
Put on your foot in your mouth or something.
Yeah, but however, there's vulnerable moments in that show where stuff does come out of your mouth. Like I might have been really, peed off one day.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
So it's just emotions kind of get the
best.
You
do forget that you're being filmed, don't you?
Yeah, you do. Like the whole thing's a blur. I can't wait to see how it comes out, though. It's going to be fun.
We can't wait. I won't miss it because I've watched every season of Survivor. I'm not going to stop.
True fan, man.
If you win $1 million.
If I win.
How does that change your life?
I mean, it helps out a lot.
you got this young family.
Yeah, if I got a million
$1 million in my pocket, it's going to make this guy's life a lot easier. But yeah,
I guess you'll just have to wait and see, man.
Well, I wish you the best of luck, man.
Thank you, sir. It's been an absolute pleasure being on your show.
It's really cool that you would take the time in advance to help us promote this because,
of course, buddy.
You know, it's cool to see Regina represented with Alberta. We'll give it up for Alberta.
Absolutely,
too.
Buddy. Right, I appreciate your time today, man.
Thanks so much.
Yeah.
Just like the guy's feet are too big for his bed, nothing seems to fit.
Ah, there you have it, BJ Thomas from the soundtrack of Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. Tributes continue to pour in for actor Robert Redford, legendary Hollywood star who died at the age of 89. His breakout role, of course, Butch Cassidy.
I'll jump first.
No.
Then you jump first.
No, I said.
What's the matter with you? I can't swim!
He had all the charm, the good looks. It did not hurt him at all to have that. His only ever Oscar nomination for acting was actually in the movie The Sting. He didn't win it. He would turn to directing in the 80s. He directed the best picture, Ordinary People, of which won Best Picture. And he won Best Director for it eventually.
You know, if anybody had told you a year ago that you would have been ... well, I just didn't think I was going to see this. But I'm no less grateful.
About a year later from that, he'd support independent filmmaking. He established his Sundance Film Festival that is still going today. And in an interview, he was asked to pick his favorite movie from all that he has starred in, and he said that's easy.
I think Butch Cassidy, because it was so much fun. In other words, I love to ride. I like doing the stunts, you know. Paul and I had a great relationship that just evolved in the making of the film. But it was so much fun. It was in country I love, getting on a horse, being an outlaw, which I've felt like most of my life.
He was a committed environmentalist. He moved to Utah in 1961 to lead efforts to preserve the natural landscape of the state, and that's where he died at his home there in Utah. Meryl Streep said in her tribute last night, "One of the lions has passed." And I kind of hear what she's saying. With Redford gone now, Paul Newman in 08. We lost, what, Sean Connery 5 years ago, Sidney Poitier 3 years ago. There's a slow disappearance of actors who embodied like that classic style that reflected their taste. Rather than a professional stylist, these are the actors who just did their own thing. Like Redford's style, he was always to wear a jacket with a collar up. It worked every time for him. He just looked super cool. All those old-time actors had a look and a style. So big loss in Hollywood there. Chrystia Freeland quit Cabinet again. Yesterday, her co-workers were lavishing praise as she said goodbye outside of Parliament Hill.
I talk to her almost daily, bi-daily, and she's a good person, and she'll do a great job over in Ukraine, and I support her all the way.
She's had literally every tough assignment there is in government, and she's done it with extraordinary flair.
She's an extraordinary person, and if Minister Freeland wants to serve in that capacity, I think she would do a wonderful job.
On the other hand, federal conservative leader Pierre Poilievre said goodbye in his own unique way ahead of what we now know as Budget Day, November 4th.
I think it was that she resigned rather than introduce a $62 billion deficit. I think she said the Liberals were trying to force her to introduce a deficit of $62 billion, and she said this is irresponsible. It is out of control, and it will cause massive inflation. And, of course, that deficit went ahead anyway, and now it's even bigger. She's probably trying to get out of town and as far away as possible before this disastrous November budget comes, and I don't blame her.
Pierre Poilievre's reaction. Again, Freeland is leaving to be Canada's special representative for the reconstruction of Ukraine. And no, she's not moving there. She will visit frequently, but to live in Canada. It was Freeland's resignation, of course, from the Justin Trudeau cabinet that essentially led to the former PM's own decision to step away from politics. And yesterday it was pretty evident as Carney walked out with her from the cabinet meeting. They really wanted to show that this was amicable, right? This departure. Carney's the godfather of one of her kids. So they were looking to try to portray that they're the best of friends as they walked out together. And it's not clear how long she's going to remain an MP in the House of Commons, but the discussion of her departure from the role was not even discussed yesterday. So if there is one person who is the protagonist left over from the Trudeau government, it would have to be her. So you can't deny her leaving doesn't really assist in making this version of the Liberals look a little more distant from Trudeau's cabinet. Well, it does actually give them a little of that, I guess. But she's leaving. Officially, we don't know when yet.